What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Bay-Lay Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and a little bit of news from around the association. I'm your host and Lakers guy, Austin Sexton, recording here at the amazing Playback Recording Studio here in Los Angeles. And joining me tonight are my co-hosts, my boys from the Bay Area. It's Roman and Casey. How we doing, guys?
Doing good. How are you?
What's up?
You know, to be honest with you, I feel now that I'm back in the studio and I actually have a microphone in front of my face, I feel way better. So this feels a heck of a lot better than the last couple episodes. By the way, to anybody tuning in, we're done with the episode numbers. We're just so confident in this now, thanks to all of you. We're just another episode of the Bay-Lay Podcast. We're happy to be announcing that. So thanks for everybody that's been tuning in, checking us out, and listening to a spiel. We're just a bunch of guys who came together off of a group thread talking about the NBA, and here we are talking about it on social media for all of you. Also, Brock, we miss you. We're going to see you soon, buddy. We're getting on a consistent schedule pretty soon. Starting tomorrow, we're going to be shooting for always Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6 o'clock Pacific and 8, which means 9 o'clock Eastern time for those of you that like to tune in and get the episodes right after we're done recording. So now that we're done doing that, also make sure to like and subscribe here right here to the Bay-Lay Podcast, wherever you get your Spotify podcast, Apple podcast, wherever, you know what I'm saying. Go like, subscribe, give us the thumbs up because, we want to keep doing this. So, guys, busy preseason, but it's Monday night and the regular season starts tomorrow. And I know that I can't be more excited as a Lakers fan. I can imagine how you guys feel as Warriors fans going 6-0 in the preseason. You guys were looking good, man. Talk to me about the preseason. What are you excited about? What do you expect for this season? We're just starting there. Minute. More moody minutes?
More moody minutes.
He got an extension. 3 years, $39 million. I think he deserves a lot more, but I mean, this just kind of confirms that he's going to be a part of the team, and you know it's going to be 4 more years we get to look at Moody and his development. But he was kind of just on fire for all the games. He was a scorer on all three levels. He just looked engaged even when he was being put in like the third tier lineup with all the two-way players, the rookies. Like he was engaged, he was active, and he was productive, and he made a case for getting regular season minutes. And I mean, he got an extension out of it, so I kind of proved a point.
Yeah, absolutely. To piggyback off what Roman just said, Moody was absolutely on fire this preseason. He might have averaged like, I don't want to say maybe 30 a game, but it sure felt like it. There's a few games where he was 30 plus and actually ended up being the second leading scorer in preseason points with 93.
Oh, yeah.
Very impressive. And I think he definitely made the case that he deserves to be in this rotation and be a part of this team, like on a consistent basis. And yeah, I think Mike Dunleavy and the brain trust at the Golden State Warriors agree so, as they gave him a 3-year extension. So I think, yeah, this is a great day for Warrior fans and for Moses Moody fans.
The more Moody minutes.
Yeah.
Moses Moody, we just had Slow-Mo. Shout out Slow-Mo for checking out one of our last posts that we posted on IG. Moses Moody, if you follow this or you've seen this or you're checking this out now, go back to our other episodes. We've been pulling for you, bro. More Moody minutes. We haven't made the banner.
More Moody minutes.
But we're doing it soon. We're going to have a whole thing that comes up. We're still figuring out this whole StreamYard thing, but we'll have a more Moody minutes banner that comes up whenever you have a baller ass game, which apparently is going to be all the time. So congratulations, Moses Moody, on getting more Moody minutes because you're getting more Moody money now. So.
Oh, ooh. Ooh,
cha-fucking-chang. So speaking of your guys over there, Moses Moody getting the extension. What's going on with JK?
Yeah, so Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors did not come to terms on a new contract. Today was the deadline for, I believe, like rookie extensions. Rookie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this is shaping out to be a big prove-it year for Kuminga because at the end of the season, he becomes a restricted free agent. But from the preseason, I saw a lot of things that I liked from Kuminga as well. Looks like his jump shot has improved. And I think that's a big thing that I wanted to see. And yeah, I think it's going to be a prove it year for Kuminga, but I don't doubt he'll be able to do it.
Yeah, no, I think I saw just a lot more confidence with him in the offensive system. And yeah, his jump shot, I mean, he was just taking more jump shots. It seems like he was just, there was more faith in the coaching staff for him to kind of play within that offensive system of, yeah, like when you're on the perimeter and you have an open shot, just take it. Like if you have the space, don't just drive into a double team in the paint and lose the ball, which is something that I watched a lot happen last year. So him having more confidence in that shot, just getting more reps in gameplay, that should just, I mean, yield more positive results. But yeah, it's going to be interesting following that, because that's going to be a big shadow over the season, is what is going to happen to Kuminga at the end of it. And everyone's going to be watching every second of his playing time under a microscope. So I wonder how that's going to affect him, because I mean, he's still a young player trying to prove it in this league. And yeah, that can get to people for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so Warriors go 6-0, right? Based off of what we came into not seeing anything when we first started this podcast, we were just a few weeks shy of training camp till right now, Monday, October 21st at 6:27 p.m. Are we feeling better, the same, or worse about your chances this year as a team, as a whole unit?
Oh man. I talked myself down so much this offseason. I was like, oh, the Warriors are going to be going through all this change.
We
And
were a
like,
little pessimistic about the
yeah,
Warriors.
like losing Klay, like that was a major foundational stone of the past decade of Warriors
Oh, yeah.
basketball.
Oh, for sure.
And that just being removed, and we were all scrambling to say, how do we fill this space? And through the preseason, we're seeing all these pieces get more play time, more engagement in the offense, and the offense changing a little bit. And it's made me feel even more confident in the Warriors this next season. So my expectations are a lot higher. I mean, 6-0 in the preseason, I have to take something from that. I
For
have
sure.
to. It's irresponsible to not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I feel astronomically better than I did, let's say, July 4th to now. And
For sure.
yeah, just the preseason looked great. I mean, 6-0, can't really complain about anything. Yeah, I feel pretty happy heading into the season opener on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was going to say, bringing it up, opener Wednesday, got the Trailblazers. I feel like you guys got to feel pretty good about that matchup going in game one. You know, I mean, the Blazers aren't going to be very good this year. You know, the Lakers were actually looking at potentially picking up Robert Williams just because we needed a big guy. But, you know,
I'm Lord.
Portland doesn't ever want to trade with us. So that was never really going to actually happen. But I would say that you guys have a great chance against Portland. I mean, Anfernee Simons is super fire. I mean, he's going to be
Oh,
their best.
Shaedon Sharpe, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
He's great.
they got some good pieces there. I think I'm not too tapped into what the Trailblazers are doing, but from an outsider's perspective, it seems like they are a young team that is rebuilding and just kind of figuring out their identity. So I kind of expect the Warriors to go in there and get a win. Funny enough, is so the new assistant coach Terry Stotts has been implementing some of his plays from his playbook with the Trailblazers
And
with this Warriors offense.
just
And it's been
substituting
looking.
Dame for Steph.
It's been working well for them in this preseason.
Yeah, just generating open shots with their flares and pin downs. Like it's just getting a lot of open shots on the wings. And I mean, yeah, it's looked good. Like the offensive system has very obviously changed, and it's yielded very good results thus far. So
And also too, who could not like Terry Stotts, man? Like, who could not like Terry Stotts?
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, like he's just, I look at him, I'm just like, he looks like the really nice dad that like he's gonna like shake your hand, like you're dating his daughter or something. He's just like, he's really excited to see you. Hey man, how you doing? Come on in, let's have a coffee, sit down, have like how's your family? You know, Terry just, he looks like a guy I'd hang out with.
He's
I
a
see.
people person.
Yeah, he's a real real A to B guy, real straight shooter, that Terry.
Real straight shooter.
Real straight shooter.
Guy's guy.
Guy,
Yeah, gotta
absolutely.
love it.
Looking back to your preseason though, like, who would you say your most impressive player was? I mean, obviously you've got the Steph Currys, you've got like your main guys, but somebody that came out of preseason playing for the Warriors that you're like, okay, this guy's on my list. He's going to genuinely make a difference. Maybe you weren't so high on at the beginning of preseason when you didn't know. Seeing him play and now you're like, okay, this could be something.
There's a few guys I could say I was most impressed with, but wow. For me, it's between, aside from Moses Moody, who had a perfect preseason.
We've been plugging for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kyle Anderson or D'Anthony Melton, I thought they popped out the screen at me. D'Anthony Melton really impressed me with his ball handling skills.
Okay.
As I think we talked about this in prior episodes, but when he first signed with the Warriors, I kind of just thought he was going to be like a more defensive guard and just kind of like primarily, you know, hang his hat on playing defense. But this preseason, I feel like I really watched him play great offensively as well as defensively.
Yeah.
And Kyle Anderson, yeah, I thought he had a great preseason as well. Like he was playing point guard for a little bit, like bringing the ball up the court.
Yeah.
But he's also spreading the floor, getting rebounds, just doing all the right things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, either of those guys, but I was pretty impressed with the team as a whole. Like Buddy Hield's another guy I want to shout out because his shooting is just much needed on this team.
He's a shooter, all right, man. He is a shooter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my pick would be Buddy Hield, and that was mostly because I didn't really know what to expect with his fit in lineups specifically, especially with the acquisition of D'Anthony Melton. Because I thought he was going to be our primary two guard, just defending the best player in our primary lineup, and that was just going to be his spot.
Yeah.
But seeing him, as Casey said, his ball handling skills, I was like, okay, well, maybe he could actually operate in the second unit and run the point for them. But man, Buddy was also on fire during the preseason.
The stroke is pure.
And like, I feel like in my career watching the NBA, I feel like I've maybe haven't given the appropriate like appreciation to Buddy and his scoring ability, because he just looks like the, along with D'Anthony Melton, the perfect perimeter threat for this team. Because he's an elite shooter and he's been that, but like seeing that in the Warriors system, it just looks and feels like the perfect blend and mesh. And
like where's he been all along?
Oh, it's just not on our team, man.
Is this like the pink warm fuzzy cloud the night before? Well, two nights before opening night. Like we're like, yes, preseason guys went undefeated. I remember when we first kind of put this down, and we talked about this earlier, we weren't necessarily so high on the team, on our teams, right? Are you giving yourself like an extra 5 wins now? So you're gonna go as far as to say, based off of the preseason play, the addition of the players, seeing everybody go through it, the Warriors, you're confident saying the Warriors are now no longer a 10-7 team, and you think they could be 6 and above?
Yeah, I could see this team winning over 50 games easily.
Okay, mark it here, Warriors over 50. We'll come back to this at the trade deadline. Yeah, we'll come back to this at All-Star break. Is All-Star break, is that before or after the trade deadline? It's before, right?
I think it's before.
No, it's after. It's after. Because I remember our Western Conference run year. We
should answer that with more confidence next time. We'll make sure to note that down.
Yeah. We're figuring it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because like trade happens before the All-Star break, but then like, they don't do East versus West anymore. So I guess,
I know.
Yeah.
I miss that.
But I'm, you know what? I'm with you guys to an extent. I mean, since we have the pod now, I'm going to do my best to get every Warriors game that I can. I feel like I barely have enough time for every Laker game, but I still figure it out. And so doing two teams is going to be pretty tricky, but I'm definitely going to, you know, catch the four that we have. And then some of the highlighted games that you have, the marquee ones for sure, especially Warriors Celtics. That's going to be a classic this year.
That's going to be so good.
Yeah. But I don't know if I'm going over 50. I don't know if I'm going over 50 yet. I gotta feel it out now. My too early to tell. I'm still in like 45, 46. Cause to me, that's like, okay, slow-mo Buddy Hield and Shake Milton are going to win you four games. And I guess, it's an NBA player. I guess that they can. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
The season is coming.
The season is coming hot. And speaking of the season coming in hot, the Lakers open it up tomorrow. And I am so juiced playing Ant-Man and the Timberwolves. I was this close to getting my tickets. I don't know yet. I'm going to be a game time decision. They're actually down right now. Hey, game time application, come sponsor your guys right now, because I use game time for every single ticket purchase that I get. Make sure to use bonus code BLA podcast to get $10 off. Nah, I wish. That'd be crazy. Soon. We make it sound good.
10% off.
Yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine? I actually saw that they were, somebody sold their season tickets in the 300 section for this year. And Game Time was selling it for, I think it was $14,000. So wow. That's two seats, right? You get two seats in the 300, 41 games for $7,000 if you would split it with somebody. You know, yeah. pretty decent. That's pretty damn good
for Lakers. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty damn good. If I had somebody else I could pull the trigger on that with, I was like,
I know. Is it financially responsible? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not cool. 14K. I mean, the Lakers are definitely worth more than 14K to me, but damn, it's just, that's, you know, it's a little crazy out here in California. You know, Brock's over there in Pennsylvania. Not saying it's any. Brock's got the family. I do not have children yet, but damn, 14K. I think to most people it's a good chunk of money. So, Lakers, I'll be seeing you soon with that. However, yeah, we open up the season tomorrow against Ant-Man and the Timberwolves. I'm not 100% sure about how I'm feeling yet, as far, like, I know how I feel about the Lakers, and we'll get into that, but as far as the Timberwolves, so I don't know if Julius Randle. I don't know if Julius Randle's playing tomorrow. I believe he is. I think he got a preseason game in. His shoulder's okay, so I think that we'll see him. This is the tricky one. I haven't looked at the money line. I haven't looked at the over or who's projected to win, but the Lakers haven't won an opening night game in years. And I think that tomorrow, maybe this is just me leaning more with my heart, I think tomorrow we get it done. I think Anthony Davis, even though I, you know, as far as like defensive player of the year and everything's involved, like, I think this is the year that Anthony Davis like really, really, really goes hard. Like, he says he doesn't want it anymore. And yes, we have Wembanyama, Rudy Gobert. But I feel like if the Lakers can just like get themselves to a point where they're like a top 12 defense, Anthony Davis can finally be in that conversation. But I feel like AD shows up tomorrow. I think Bron shows up like a fucking madman tomorrow because Bronny's on the bench. I think there's going to be a big breakout game for D'Lo because he kind of was in a bit of a slump during preseason. AR is going to keep it consistent. And you know who else is going to have a standout fucking game? Connect Four.
Ooh.
Connect, man.
I'm curious to see what kind of minutes he gets, but yeah, I expect the Lakers to do very well against this Timberwolves team. Cause yeah, they went through kind of an overhaul with their roster, and losing Karl Anthony Towns is pretty major for, huge. Their interior defense. And Anthony Davis was showing all of his skills throughout preseason of how dominant he can be on, I mean, every level. So yeah, he's probably going to dominate.
AD is looking like a fucking monster again, especially with that 3-point shooting.
Godzilla.
If he can get 5-6 threes a game, first and foremost for tomorrow, let's say Anthony Davis gets it in his head right now. He's in his bed. I don't know what AD does at night. He's watching the football game. I should be watching it on TV right now, but it is what it is. He's sitting there. He's thinking to himself, I'm shooting 6-7 threes tomorrow, right? What's that doing? That's pulling Rudy Gobert out of the paint. What's that doing? That's LeBron, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves.
Opens
just
it
going,
up.
Just going right to the lane. And
open
just
lanes.
Yamming all over everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, the game tomorrow is going to be a lot closer than I'm assuming what most people think. I haven't checked what the spread is or what the odds are looking like, but I'm assuming the Wolves are probably the favorite.
Yeah,
I would say the Wolves are probably like a five or six point favorite.
Oh man, spread's just 1.5.
One and a half.
Yeah, Wolves favored, but yeah, it's close.
That's a lot closer than I thought. Yeah, I think AD takes over. I think tomorrow is like a big AD game, and it like you were just saying, Austin, like AD lurking around the perimeter, that's going to open up the lane for LeBron and for Rui Hachimura and other scorers to go drive, like. Absolutely. Make these guys chase you down.
Absolutely. And like if AD can consistently have this three-point shot, right? All those big men have to come out because he's playing the five, right? But if we could just get another big body to bang as well, bro, God, it just takes me back to 2020. And it just reminds me. I just think about him hitting that jumper over Jokic to win game two. It takes me back to just the dominance, like when we had Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee. It's just like, if we could just have one more big guy. Like, I love Jackson Hayes. Jax is my guy. I think he brings the energy. He always surges in when he gets in off the bench. He brings the energy. He picks the team up. But he's a little bit out of control sometimes. And my thing with him is like, he'll always catch the ball off of a screen at like the foul line, turn, and just immediately want to just go at it and slam. And then what happens? You get into a situation like you're playing the Golden State Warriors, and what's going to happen? Draymond Green's going to step outside the circle. He's going to hold his nuts and take the fucking charge, you know,
like
every single time. It's bound to happen. It's just a thing with Jackson Hayes, you know, and it's because he's trying to move fast. He's trying to be as productive as he can, and I get that. But we need somebody that just sees the game a little bit slower. And I think once we get that, it's going to really open up things. I think as presently constructed, I think the Lakers go in 47 games, I think. 48 max.
That's fair.
But I don't know. I think if we can get one more. But, like, even playing against you guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was it was the first game that we played. I think that's what we were saying is a little bit more noteworthy to talk about.
Yeah, that starters actually play.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like – I think both of our teams looked really good. I think that that JJ has the offense moving for us in ways that – we almost look, I mean, it's not similar because we're a bigger team than you guys are as far as like body and strength, but we're moving somewhat kind of like you guys would. And
the
that's huge for us.
Fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing is we just need to have a little bit more of a defensive presence. So I'm a little bit worried tomorrow because who's guarding Ant-Man? Jared Vanderbilt's not going to be back for 2 weeks. So who's guarding Ant-Man?
Cause that's a big ask. That's a big ask, and you can't fall asleep playing defense against the Timberwolves. Cause he's gonna make you pay, and if he doesn't make you pay, I think you know there's other guys on the team like
Conley, DiVincenzo. I mean Randall, if he plays, he can hit shots. Like he has a threat from range. But
so am I? This is kind of the way that I'm seeing it. I could be wrong. This is just spitballing. We haven't pre-prepped this in particular before coming on to record this show. My thoughts would be right now, Austin Reeves is pretty much our defensive player on your best guard or whoever the opposing team's best guard is, right?
Yeah, probably.
Because we don't have Jared Vanderbilt in for another 2 weeks. Christian Wood is supposedly a week out, but we'll see. Shout out my boy C Wood, another person I've been personally.
Yeah, this just popped up to my head, but that could potentially be your guy to play.
We got to see him get some run. But when LeBron last year, I know I'm getting off of what I was talking about, but last year when LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Christian Wood were on the court together, they were, and I don't know what the exact number was, but they were a super sky high positive rating. So, and it was I think it was like a 5 to 6 game sample size with them being in there consistently for like more than like 9-10 minutes together. So that would probably be like 13-14 possessions, offensively and defensively. So I'm not exactly sure, but I know that that looked good. A lot of analysts were talking about how that could be a really good thing. But I think that Austin Reeves is probably going to serve as the primary defender on Ant-Man tomorrow. From there, you got to think about DiVincenzo, and I'm assuming he's probably going to start.
Yeah, or Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah, I would say is it one or the other for their team? I don't know what their starting lineup's looking
like. I think their starting lineup's probably going to look like Conley, Edwards, McDaniels, Randall, then Gobert, and then you'd have Naz Reid and DiVincenzo coming off the bench.
Okay. So for surely D'Lo is going to be on Conley because Conley isn't as fast as he used to be. So we got to hide him on somebody. It's either him or McDaniels, but I feel like Conley's more of the offensive threat.
Does this sound crazy, but would you put LeBron on Ant?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be switches, but as a primary defender now.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure he could do it, but you're not going to – it's not – if LeBron plays 38 to 40 tomorrow –
No. You don't want him to play 38 minutes guarding Ant.
Yeah, then he's
– that's a little too much wear and tear.
Yeah, that's yielding him dropping like 16 tomorrow and like 8 turnovers. So
yeah,
we got to make sure that's not – I say that LeBron's going to be on Julius and AD will be on Gobert, which means I think that Rui's going to be on McDaniels. I think Austin is going to be on Ant and D'Lo being on Conley to start. I think after that, I think Max will be the sixth man. Max Christie will come in. I think he's going to replace D'Lo because I feel like Minnesota's probably going to try and run and gun on us, and we haven't been the best in transition defense. So subbing in Max Christie for D'Angelo Russell, I think he'll then – at that point, Max Christie will probably take the – defensive assignment on Ant because Max is probably fresher legs and a little bit of a better defender than Austin would be. I mean, that's why we signed into the contract that we did, because we think he is the prototype for 3 and D. So yeah, Max Christie will go on to Ant, and then Austin will slide over to Mike Conley. From there, it's going to be Jackson Hayes probably coming in for Rui. You're going to have Gabe Vincent coming in for Austin, and then Dalton Connect coming in for Bron.
Oh, right. Man. I'm looking at the Timberwolves depth chart right now. And
yeah,
like their second unit, they're probably going to be bringing in DiVincenzo, Joe Ingles. I mean, Naz Reid is going to get in there.
Oh, Naz
Reid. Yeah, that's going to be he
loves to light the Lakers up, man. Naz Reid, what do you have against the Los Angeles Lakers? Naz, what do you have against us, man?
Nah, he has a vendetta against both our teams, man.
Naz Reid is probably the best player in the NBA.
He's lethal. But, I mean, yeah.
Naz Reid has the same effect. This is a bit of a crazy take. I think that Naz Reid has that same potent effect, like how it affects me emotionally, as Jay Crowder does.
Whoa.
Do you guys know what I mean? Like, I look at Jay Crowder as the villain. Always.
Like Jay Crowder, Celtics.
Really?
Yeah, like, yes. Jay Crowder, Phoenix. Jay Crowder.
Oh, yeah, the Phoenix. Yeah, him and LeBron.
Phoenix, Jay Crowder.
Oh, my God.
Oh, big 99.
Yeah.
That's a crazy number, too. Like, that's like a defensive lineman number.
Yeah. He's a psycho, you know? And, like, Naz Reid makes me have that same feeling, and I don't like it. However, like, I like the player more. I like Naz Reid, the player, more than I like Jay Crowder, but they both give me the villain energy. And I'm not for that.
He ruins your night.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there goes our 12-point lead. And
maybe we just need to not be haters and just accept the fact that Naz Reid's just that fucking good.
He's the GOAT.
He is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm curious who, I mean, it's probably going to be Hayes guarding Reid in that second lineup.
So. I think at that point, we probably keep it. Well, 80 will typically. The way that I was looking in preseason and kind of the way that we did it last year, AD typically doesn't come out until the start of the second.
Okay.
And then we'll have Jackson Hayes start at the five and LeBron will be the four. And if Jax isn't doing well, then LeBron goes to the small ball five. But, you know, okay, Hopefully some of that can get avoided because I don't know if we put this in here. We didn't, but it doesn't matter. Christian Coloco.
Yeah, I've been hearing there's a report saying that Lakers are feeling optimistic about Coloco and his health, and they expect an NBA decision soon. I'm assuming they're a decision to like clear him to play?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how long that takes. It's the the NBA's decision to play panel. It's something along those lines. I don't know what it's called in particular, but we've been waiting. I mean, he's been signed for a month. He's been at practices. He's on the sideline. Technically, he cannot step foot on an NBA court until he is cleared. But Shams Charania of ESPN broke yesterday that the Lakers are very, very optimistic that the decision to play panel is going to come down with a verdict soon, which will be in the Lakers' favor, which means hopefully, I don't have the timeline. I don't know what very soon means. I mean, particularly with the Lakers, whenever we say very soon, it's we revisit it in like 2 weeks and then it's another 2 weeks, which makes it a month. Yeah. So I don't think that Shams puts out if it wasn't more so imminent than it being a longer term thing. So yeah. I feel good about that. If we get Koloko, and that's going to be a work in progress. Man hasn't played in an NBA game in a while. He's been in the gym. He looks good. We have belief. I think if we can get him putting a little bit more weight on, I think it's somebody we can put in immediately. First and foremost, I think we can just throw him in.
A 7'5" wingspan. That's got to be effective somewhere.
Oh, definitely.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I think we can throw him in. He's not the big, you know, center that we wanted, but just he is a center there that we can build with. Yeah. I mean, obviously, JJ Redick at some point has been thinking to himself, I need a lineup with Anthony Davis, Koloko, Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood, and LeBron
big all lineup.
At the same time, right? The big lineup. Oh, yeah.
Because he's looking at the schedule and he's like, okay, we play the Spurs this week. He circles it. And he's like, how do I get the biggest lineup against Wemby?
Could you imagine? Is that the only way to stop Wembanyama? It's just like the three center lineup.
Maybe that's something. Yeah. Someone's gonna try it.
It's revolutionary.
Yeah, I don't think the league has figured that out yet.
They're not ready. Yeah. They're not ready. Like, Jokic was the prototype. Then someone was like, "What if we could have two Jokic's?" And then the Lakers said, "Well, what if we could have an Anthony Davis, Christian Koloko, Jackson Hayes, Christian Wood, and LeBron James all in at one time?" I think it's a recipe for success. I think that's a plus minus of a million. Just saying.
I agree.
I'm glad that we can talk real hardcore good statistics on this show. I'm here for it. Scrolling through to some of the other things about the Lakers. Most impressive during preseason. Did you guys get to catch any of the Lakers stuff?
Yeah, I caught a bit, especially the Warrior games. My immediate answer is Dalton Connect.
Yeah. What do you think, Roman? What do you think on that?
Oh, Connect, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's someone that you've been talking up quite a bit, and yeah, he's looked great. He has a great shot. He looks fairly comfortable in the offense, and yeah, I think it's exactly what the Lakers have kind of needed is you know, like an elite, almost, well, not elite, but a consistent good outside scorer to just help with the offense and. Yeah, I think JJ Redick has his perfect little creation that he gets to play with now.
Oh yeah,
and tinker with in lineup. So yeah, it's gonna be something that's gonna be fun to watch for this roster overall, because yeah, they've kind of needed something like that.
Dalton Connect, the confidence level that he has as a rookie, and he's 24, so he's like, he's the older rookie. And I feel like that's a big reason that a lot of people kind of
count
on him. I think it's great. I'm not an NBA exec, but I feel like you've had more time. He's been in big games. You know what I'm saying?
And I feel a lot of teams they undervalue like the 24-year-old rookie when it's like they the glitz and the glamour around these like 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids who are fresh out of like 1 year of college or fresh out of high school now, and like they haven't had a lot of time to develop as players.
Right.
And they're immediately thrown into these positions where like, you know, like you got to be a franchise player, and then it's hard for them to live up to that.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I don't know, when I watched Dalton Connect play at Tennessee, I thought his game would translate to the NBA like immediately.
Yeah, three-level scorer.
We saw in the preseason, he was the third leading scorer in the preseason with 90 points.
Yeah, in the entire league, not just the Lakers, the entire league.
Yeah. Like, I think, and I don't think it was a fluke. I think it's legit.
I do as well. I think he'll have it. I think, like, There's going to be games where it's not what we want to see, you know, but that comes with any rookie.
There's going to be growing pains.
Yeah. He's going to have his growing pains for sure, but I think he is somebody that the Lakers are going to rely on for the next like 4 or 5 years. He's going to be there for the post-LeBron era. He should be. And you know what's crazy? I never heard Dalton Knecht talk until the post-game interviews, especially when he was like, I wasn't paying attention that much, but like when he got interviewed by Mike Trudell for Spectrum Sportsnet, and I think he got interviewed by ESPN as well after that game. But after listening to him talk, the swagger that he has, the little accent that he has, bro, makes me think he literally gets off the court, smokes like 5 Newports, throws on little baby, and just vibes. Just vibes, bro.
After the Newports is crazy.
Throws on little baby. Bro might throw on a do-rag too and just bob his head. He's like, insane. Like stereotype after stereotype after stereotype. We don't got to go that much into it, but that's my guy.
I respect
that's my guy.
Yeah.
Shout out Alex Caruso, who walked so this could happen. So that Austin Reeves and Dalton Knecht could run.
Oh man.
We could have had our big three in LA. Rob, what were you thinking?
The three-headed dragon.
The three-headed dragon.
Hey, King Ghidorah.
Could you imagine the lineup if we could swing this? Well, Colin Castleton. Now that's something we could.
He's been waived.
Yeah, he was waived, and we can go into the whole Quincy Oliveri thing. Also, somebody who I absolutely loved. We'll get into that. But I was just gonna say, imagine the starting lineup of Colin Castleton, Dalton Knecht, Austin Reeves, Alex Caruso, and who would the point be? I don't think we had any white point guards.
Me.
And Casey. that's like a 52-53 win team.
No.
Casey, you're contributing to that.
Oh, absolutely. Casey gets buckets at LA Fitness in 24 hours. Oh, YMCA. Yeah. Also, too, shout out, I Brock's a hooper too. I've balled with Brock several times out in Pittsburgh, and the guys he balls with.
We'll put Brock at the one. I'll come off the bench.
You'll come. Okay.
Yeah. Roman and I coming off the bench.
Yeah.
You're like in the pods role. Got you. Yeah. I'm more of just like put me in the corner and I'll knock out a few threes. It's pretty much.
There you go.
Yeah. But the last thing that I really want to talk about as far as the Lakers go is Quincy Oliveri, man. Really inspiring play.
What a great story.
Super great story, especially like it ties into Lakers Warriors so much, like in this podcast, just because of how much of a fan that he was of Steph's. But it's a heartwarming story, man.
It is. And those are the things like are the stories that it's like, see, you know, like dreams come true, like dreams do come true. And you just love to see it. And I think like bigger picture, it's why we love sports.
Yeah.
It's like we love to be entertained and we love the glory and like, you know, the triumph, but we also love like the humanity aspect of it and like seeing these stories happen.
Yeah, just seeing like the raw emotion that like the emotional investment that these players kind of put into this career that they've devoted so much time and energy to. And like the love and obsession over the game and the players that helped like build that obsession that they kind of crafted their game around or just inspired them to pursue this. And like watching that kind of come into like a full circle moment for him and him at the podium speaking on Steph and like his impact on him. And it was him getting emotional. Like that was incredible to watch. Like that was powerful stuff.
I feel like a big reason too that the Lakers called him to give him that contract is because, so if you guys didn't know, Quincy Oliveri was on an Exhibit 10. And obviously, you know, you've got essentially he had the preseason to prove it, right? Everybody that played that last game. So he had his breakout game in the fourth quarter. Forget who they were playing, but it was the fourth quarter when he had that 10-minute spurt and just went crazy, right?
Might have been the Warriors.
Was it Warriors game one?
He had that float game going crazy.
Yes. Okay. So Warriors game one, right? He gets his opportunity, Warriors game two. And what I kind of thought about and what makes sense to me is that the starters of that game were all two-way guys, immediately two-way guys who had a signed deal and or role on the Los Angeles Lakers specifically the G League, right? Quincy was the only person out there with an Exhibit 10 deal, and he knew that it was his last game to prove it. And he outplayed and out-hustled and outshined everybody that was guaranteed to be on the Los Angeles Lakers and or the South Bay Lakers. And just immediately was just like, this is my night. This is my last night. And he went and just threw it all out there. Next day he got the call, you know. And Colin Castleton, we've had him for a while now. He just hasn't turned into what we thought he was going to. Kyler Kelly didn't really make sense for us. So all we're left with is Armel Traore and Quincy Oliveri. And those are the guys that we're rolling with. And I'm actually really excited about Quincy because I think that with a couple years, well, even with a year of just like hard work in the G League and being on a two-way, if he can get those, like, you never know when you're going to get needed.
Yeah,
you
know? He could be in the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a better chance than not that he'll get some minutes this year, especially within that first 3 weeks. So that makes me think to myself, first 3 weeks, G Leaguers and two-way guys all up with the Lakers, are they going to make history opening night? Bronny James and LeBron. What do you guys think? What's your initial reactions?
Initial reaction. Well, I heard that Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr. are going to be in attendance of the game.
That's what the kids are saying.
So I think if you got those two great athletes there, yeah, I think it happens opening night. Like, you can't disappoint the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just irresponsible as a product on TV for them to withhold that narrative moment to play out finally, because it's been built up for so long. They have to pay it out to the viewers.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's important. It's an important moment of history for the NBA. And yeah.
That's a big reason why I'm considering getting a ticket. Cause to be honest with you, like, I love the atmosphere. You guys are hoop heads. Like, you know the atmosphere of going to a game versus watching it on television. Oh, don't get me wrong. I love hearing Mike Breen, Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller. I love all of it.
They're different experiences.
It's a completely different experience. But to be there in that arena, to see Bronny James check in and actually play with his dad, whether it's just an assist, I feel like at this point, after watching preseason, we know Bronny isn't ready for the NBA. At the highest level.
Yeah.
Definitely could get some work in the G League, right? To me, if this happens, it's tomorrow. It's gotta be tomorrow. It's gotta be in the first three quarters. Because Bronny's not playing in crunch time if it gets down to that. And if it ends up being a blowout on either side, Bron's not gonna be in. Right.
Right.
So it's in the first, if I'm a betting man, it's the second quarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the second quarter. I think if it's a close game, I think it's got to be the Lakers are – it's got to be a 10-point swing on either side, right? It's got to be Lakers down 10, Lakers up 10.
Do you think Anthony Edwards is going to check in when Bronny checks in just to try to
– Oh, absolutely. He's a board guy like that. He would try to dunk all over Bronny.
That's hit him by fire.
Yeah.
I think it's a 3 minute window. I think that's all JJ can afford. I think it's a 3 minute window. I think it's like, let's mark it here. Second quarter, anywhere between 12 minutes to nine, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I'll go as low as eight. I can't see Bronny playing more than 4 minutes.
I agree.
Just for the narrative, just to make it happen.
I think if I didn't see that Ken Griffey Jr. and his father were going to be in attendance, I probably would say, like, maybe it doesn't happen, but it just seems like you were saying, Roman, like, the moment's been built up so big for so long that, like, it has to happen.
Yeah.
It just makes too much sense.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I definitely agree. So, we'll see. I would love to see it happen. If I'm also a betting man, I think it is a LeBron assist to Bronny for a jumper or the other way. Perfect world. I think that everybody wants to see like the Bronny to Bron oop or the Bron to Bronny oop.
I'd love to see the LeBron to Bronny assist. I think that'd be so cool.
Yeah. For his first like NBA great. Points, that would be
great. Oh,
that'd
man. Be... Yeah.
Imagine like on like some crazy LeBron dime too.
Yeah.
No, that would be, pass. That would, as the kids say, that'll feed families for generations.
Feed the internet for generations.
Ridiculous. Yeah. But I think we've touched pretty much on everything. I feel good about tomorrow. I know that you guys on the Warrior side feel good.
Oh, yeah.
We've just been waiting for so long, and we're finally here. Less than 24 hours. Here. Exactly. And 23 hours and 52 minutes, the Lakers will be playing. And I'm super excited. It's a TNT game. They start the games like around like 7:03. ESPN games, it's like 7:15. So
yeah. Okay.
You know, I mean, Mike Breen and Doris Berg got to get their like 15 minutes of fame and just like really chop up, like really get the viewers excited about the internal plot storylines.
Yeah, the narratives.
Yeah, the narrative.
I'm already excited about basketball season. My football team, it's had a rough news day, so I'm ready to turn the page and watch something else for a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So now we know. I wish Brock was here for this. We know now that the Lakers game, we've known for a while, but now I'm really thinking about it. Tomorrow is it's TNT. So, you know, it's probably going to be Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller calling that game. Ooh, so
good crew.
Mm-hmm. Good crew. What is going to be the verbiage for Kevin Harlan to introduce the Bronny to Bron to Bronny thing, you know?
I don't know the verbiage, but I know it's going to be loud. And it's going to be full of energy.
And James will be a fist to James Jr. Like something. I don't know what it's going to be, but
I think he nailed it with like, pass your kid the keys because he's ready to drive.
Yeah. That was the best thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
pass him the keys, he's ready to drive. That'd be insane.
Kevin Harlan, he's such a legend. Like, he does multiple sports. Like, not many guys can do multiple sports and do it well.
Do it well.
Like, he gets me, like, NFL, I'm in it. NBA, in it.
In it.
Yeah.
In it.
Just brings the energy.
Every single time. However, I don't know, the Mike Breen, I don't know. I feel like he's just, like, there's something about the Mike Breen bang. But there's also, like, remember the call when Kawhi like wasn't playing and it goes to the shot of him up and Kawhi Leonard going absolutely crazy. And Kawhi just sitting there like, it's so crazy. That was gold, bro.
Yeah.
That was gold. I think for me, I think it's Mike Breen over Kevin Harlan, but I don't know. And I'm just, at the end of the day, I'm just happy for sports to be back.
Yeah. This is such a good time for sports. Cause now we got the World Series coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
But Dodgers and Yankees, like,
I might have to try to go to a game.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Also, too, something really cool worth noting. My friend, I don't know if you guys have met him, but Alexis, he's an amazing artist, singer-songwriter from Phoenix, Arizona, who lives here in LA now. I've produced and helped out with a few of his songs. He's going to be performing the halftime show for the Lakers, Phoenix Suns, and he asked his boy to go. Okay. So going to go to that game out in the Valley. I believe it's an in-season tournament game.
Oh, nice.
That's huge.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, Alexis, if you're watching this, man, thank you so much for the invite. Whether it actually goes down or not, I know you're going to kill it, bro. You're my guy. And, you know, go Lakers. But when I'm there, you know, I'll be like, Suns are cool.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
Let's go, bud.
Just happy to be here.
Happy to be KD, my boy. But I think that should do it for us, man. We're about 48 minutes in. Nothing else really want to get going. We're gonna go live for the or not live, but we'll do a post game show tomorrow. Or I guess technically based off of the time it wouldn't be, but we'll figure it out. The game starts at 7. Maybe it's a little bit later. We'll figure it out in the group. But we're definitely gonna do a show tomorrow. So make sure to tune back in for some post game reaction, specifically for the Lakers Warrior or Timberwolves game when Bronny James is going to go for 35 and a dunk. So until then, I'm Austin here with Casey and Roman, and we are the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. Make sure to follow us. Make sure to give us a listen wherever you listen to podcasts at, here on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you'd listen to them things. Until next time, we'll see you guys later, and go Lakers Warriors.